And I want to welcome you to the I Want to Know More podcast for this second week of September 2024. On the podcast today, we're going to be contrasting two scriptures. So be turning to both. Turn to both scriptures here. We're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 7, and we're going to be looking at verses 18 through 29. And then we're also going to be in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, and that is verses 16 through 27. These verses line up one to one. 2 Samuel 7:18 lines up to 1 Chronicles 17:16, and it's verse by verse. And so what we're going to do is we're going to be flipping back and forth between the two verse between the two sections, verse by verse. So be prepared to flip your Bible quickly. And of course, with the podcast, you can pause it. That's one of the neat things about a podcast is you can pause it. You can rewind it. If you think you didn't hear it right, you can go back and you can listen to it again. And so please, by all means, feel free to do that. 2 Samuel chapter number 7, as well as 1 Chronicles chapter number 17. All right. 2 Samuel chapter number 7. 2 Samuel chapter number 7. We're going to read verses 18 through 29. All right. 2 Samuel chapter number 7 and verses 18 through 29. The Bible says, "Then went David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said, and let thy name be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever." This again is the great prayer that David prays after God has given him a tremendous statement. And again, it's worthwhile to go back and look at the context of this. And the context is really interesting. The Lord, or rather, David said, I want to build a house for the Lord. Nathan, his prophet, says, do what you want to. God's in it. And then God gives Nathan the great Davidic covenant and how that God will keep the house of David, and God will establish his house. And with his house, there shall be no end, and the kingdom of his house shall have no end. And of course, we know that Solomon was the near fulfillment for David here. And Christ is the far fulfillment And it's not fully fulfilled. It's partly fulfilled even now, because there is a kingdom now on the earth. That is the church. It is a spiritual kingdom. It is not physical, even though it's been misunderstood that way more than once. It's not physical. There will be a physical kingdom, but it's not yet. But I want to look at this response prayer and how it differs. Now, be looking and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter number 17. The particular scripture begins at verse number 16 and goes through verse number 27. And this is a line upon line, precept upon precept, compare scripture with scripture. And let's do that. So, verse 18 of 2 Samuel 7 and verse 16 of 1 Chronicles 17 actually match with each other. So verse 18 of 2 Samuel 7 says, "Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hither?" 1 Chronicles 17, 16 reads just a little differently. "And David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" Now, I want you to look at the capitalization difference there. Lord and God are opposite capitalizations between the two. I find that interesting. Stuff like that intrigues me. Lord, in the First Chronicles sense, is the proper name of God. Lord, in the sense of 2 Samuel 7:18, is Master, Adonai. And so there's a difference. And then, you know, I've preached a message over the years. Every once in a while I'll preach it again, simply because it's good to remember. Is it the Lord or is it the Lord? And throughout the scripture, you'll find the proper name of God, Lord, capital L, lower caps, O-R-D, small caps, but it's capitalized. That is a different word from capital L, lowercase O-R-D. It is throughout the Old Testament. It's different. And so here we have Lord that's not small caps, but it's Lord with the lower little caps in First Chronicles. And we're going to see this again. Now, there's not a lot of difference between those first two verses, or the first verse. But now the second verse, verse 19, 2 Samuel 7, "And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God?" Again, God is capitalized, little caps. Well, full caps there. And then Lord is capital L, lowercase O-R-D. And that is, even though it looks like it's spelled the same, it is a different word. And in fact, the capitalized God there in 1 Samuel is a variant spelling of the same word that's translated Lord with the lower, with the small caps elsewhere. Jehovah or Yahweh, Yahweh, and Yehovah. And it's a different word. But it means pretty much the same. I find it interesting. It's kind of like in Paul's writings, you'll find there's several places where he switches up and he says in Jesus Christ as opposed to in Christ Jesus. And it's a matter of emphasis. What are you emphasizing? You're emphasizing his Christship, or are you emphasizing his Saviorship, which is Jesus? And here we have the same thing. Are you emphasizing his Godhead? Are you emphasizing his Lordship? And so there's a difference. And again, with Samuel, the books of Samuel being more of the man's way, we want to emphasize his Godhead and call him Lord, Master, as opposed to the Lord who is God. And so we have the same thing in verse 17 of 1 Chronicles 17. And yet this was a small thing in thine eyes, O God. The phrase in 2 Samuel 7 is, O Lord God. But then yet this was a small thing to in thine eyes, O God. For thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And then we have two completely different phrases. In 2 Samuel 19, or 2 Samuel 7, 19, it's, and is this the manner of man, O Lord God? But in 1 Chronicles 17, 17, the phrase is, and hast regarded me according to the estate of a man of high degree, O Lord God. Now, this is one prayer, okay? How do you reconcile the two different statements here, the two different phrases? They've got to mean close to the same thing. They do. They need to mean close to the same thing because it's the same prayer. It's one prayer. David didn't pray two separate prayers, and we have the records of two prayers. It's not like the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain that we have in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, versus Luke, the Sermon on the Plain. A lot of the same things are said, but it's two different sermons. That's not the case here. There's one prayer. How do we reconcile these two statements? Is this the manner of man? Verses, and hast regarded me according to the estate of a man of high degree. The first is a question. Is this how men do things? But by saying that, you could be saying, you're making me way more honored than the way man would do things. And that's the way I take it. I take the combined statement of the two separate phrases here as meaning, Lord, you're not doing this the way man would do it. I know you took me from the sheep coat, from following after the sheep. And we talked about that at length, what that meant and how that would almost be an insult to a shepherd to say he took you from following after the sheep. David didn't take it as an insult. He took it as an understanding and as a acknowledgement by God that, no, this isn't man's way. When God sees a shepherd boy, or when man sees a shepherd boy, God sees a king. And so man's way of looking at it is, this isn't man's way. Is this a man's way of doing it? God's way is, I made you with the honor, regarded me according to the estate of a man of high degree. It's a single statement, but two different angles in on the meaning of how it goes. Going on down to verse number 20 of 2 Samuel 7. And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. And then in 1 Chronicles 17, 18, it's what can David speak more to thee for the honor of thy servant? For thou knowest thy servant. For the honor of thy servant here again. And those two verses, he implies it in 2 Samuel 7:20. It's implied, but it's stated here in 1 Chronicles, for the honor of thy servant, emphasizing that David is getting honor that he did not earn. It's called grace. That's grace. David is experiencing grace. He's getting ready to experience mercy in a few chapters. But here he's experiencing grace. 2 Samuel 7:21, for thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. It's made clear that David didn't earn it. It was for God's word's sake. But in 1 Chronicles 17, we find in verse 19, O Lord, for thy servant's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all this greatness in making known all these great things. First off, he calls him by his proper name. I am that I am, Jehovah, he who is. That's what that word means. He who is. It's just he is. I am that I am. He told Moses, and tell them I am hath sent me. The one who is. And that's his name that he chose. He chose that name. He chose to be called by that. And I like that. I like that a lot. And that's what he says here. But then he says, for thy servant's sake. Now, is it because the servant deserved it? No. It's because God said it to the servant, and so that the servant would believe God's doing it. It's still for his word's sake. It's just for the sake of his servant in hearing the word. Verse 22 in 2 Samuel 7. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God. There is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. The alternate passage there in 1 Chronicles 17, verse number 20. O Lord, there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Now, he says there's none like thee in both verses. But in 2 Samuel, he says, wherefore thou art great. Greatness is something that men want. Greatness is something that is man's way. Because God, what God considers great and what man considers great are two different things. But here we have man's version of greatness to be found. Verse number 23, 2 Samuel chapter 7. And what nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. The parallel verse in 1 Chronicles 17, verse 21. And what nation in the earth is like thy people, Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his own people, to make thee a name of greatness and terribleness by driving out nations from before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed out of Egypt. Those two statements are just two different ways of saying the same thing. Part of it's in the passive voice, part of it's in the active voice, and the parts are different between the two statements. But there's no difference in meaning between the two. And it's just two different ways of phrasing the same statement that we have here. 2 Samuel 7 and 24. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. The parallel verse, 1 Chronicles 17, 22. For thy people Israel didst thou make thine own people forever, and thou, Lord, becamest their God. Now the only difference there is the word confirmed. Now that word confirmed means to make firm, to be sure of. And God has confirmed, that is, made firm to himself. And the parallel passage, for thy people Israel didst thou make thine own people forever. That's that word confirmed. Confirmed, it's doubled up in 1 Samuel because you need to double up on that confirmation in the ways of man. The ways of man need confirmation. The ways of man need to have some surety. The ways of man needs to have collateral behind it. 2 Samuel 7:25. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. The parallel verse, 1 Chronicles 17:23. Therefore, now, Lord, let the thing that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house be established forever and do as thou hast said. Other than the change of phrase from O Lord God to just Lord, it's essentially the same statement. Again, making sure to understand, he is Jehovah God. He is God. And that's what man needs to hear. In man's way, you need the power and sovereignty of God. In God's way, there's grace to be found. 2 Samuel 7:26, "And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee." Now, it's phrased a little different in 1 Chronicles 17:24. "Let it even be established, that thy name be, may be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God of Israel, even a God to Israel, and let the house of David thy servant be established before thee." Even a God to Israel. I love the way that's put. Even a God to Israel. As opposed to verse 26 of 2 Samuel 7, a God over Israel. A God to versus a God over. There's a difference. A God over, he's overhead and he's above you. A God to Israel means he's personal and individual. And I love that. Verse number 27, 2 Samuel 7. "For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee." Verse 25 of 1 Chronicles 17. "For thou, O my God, hast told thy servant that thou wilt build him an house. Therefore thy servant hath found in his heart to pray before thee." Now, there's a difference. In man's way, it's pray this prayer. This prayer, it's as if the prayer makes a difference. And again, it's, "O Lord of hosts, God of Israel," talking about the power of God. But in 1 Chronicles 17:25, "He's my God. O my God." 2 Samuel 7:28, "And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant." Verse 26 of 1 Chronicles 17, "And now, Lord, thou art God, and hast promised this goodness unto thy servant." As opposed to "thou art that God." That's man's way. Man's way makes it impersonal. Man's way would put a gulf between God and man. But God's way bridges the gulf. And that is going to come through the Son of David. If that gulf's going to be bridged, so he can say, "And now, Lord." It's the personal name of God. Thou art just, thou art God. And last but not least, 2 Samuel 7:29. "Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee, for thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it. And with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever." Contrast that with 1 Chronicles 17:27. "Now therefore let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may be before thee forever, for thou blessest, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever." Notice the difference there. It's more personal. In 1 Chronicles, it's more personal. It's more individual. It's not God of Israel. It's, well, there's another place in Scripture where we're called, where Jesus is going to be called Emmanuel. That is God with us. But then there's a psalm that says, or a proverb that says, "Unto Ithiel," which is God with me. I'm glad he's not just God with us. Hallelujah, Christian. I'm glad he's God with me. He's an individual Savior. He's your individual Savior, not just the Savior of the whole world. And that's the big contrast between the passage here in 2 Samuel 7 and 1 Chronicles 17. Oh my, that's rushed, isn't it? That's one of the problems with having a broadcast that's only 30 minutes long and dealing with a comparison this close. But, you know, comparing the two and keeping in mind that 2 Samuel is more of the story of God, of man's way, and how God works with men, but it's man's perspective upon how God's working, whereas First Chronicles is going more along the lines of God's way of doing things. And so you see a lot more individualism there. You see David saying, "My God," and he's being more personal. And even though there's only one prayer, and I said that earlier, but there's only one prayer. He didn't pray two prayers. He prayed one prayer. And these are just different transcriptions of those of that prayer, where the prayer is both. The prayer contains both. It's just we have the wordings that emphasize one or the other edge of the meaning that's carried by the whole. And I know that sounds a little odd, but understanding that words have multiple meanings and words have broad meanings, sometimes having two separate transcriptions with the wording a little different, you find that the meaning is, it contains both. And you can then figure out more along where the meaning is by looking between the meanings of the two different transcriptions of this prayer. And so I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to study it that way. I certainly do. I want to thank you for listening to the I Want to Know More podcast for this week. The I Want to Know More podcast is a ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please write to Lamar Owen, Post Office Box 212, P.O. Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. Again, correspond with me at Lamar Owen, P.O. Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. And Lord willing, we'll see you here again next week on the I Want to Know More podcast.